Hey, Lex and Stacy here with another threesome podcast. Threesome meaning her, me, and you.
A you sandwich.
That's right. Stacy and I are doing you is yes. The way it works. Just one of those.
Lay back and relax.
We're one of those weird couples that plots once a week to have you
at our mercy
and do what we want. It's our Halloween laughs.
Yeah, there you go. Ta-da.
You're going to love my costume. I'll be tweeting it tomorrow.
Well, I will look for it. Is it sexy? Is it slutty?
It's a doctor's outfit. And on the front of it, it says Presby Strong, which is the hospital in Dallas that was their saying after this whole thing happened. And I'm going to have blood and guts all over me.
And, nice.
And vomit and everything else.
Little poo stain, too.
You name it. It's I'm going to be head to toe just gross.
I wonder what other substance would translate well as like pus. Something really like infected and gross.
Usually yogurt does a pretty good job of that.
Maybe some glue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good old fashioned Elmer's.
There's an Elmer's wood glue that's yellower than the white stuff.
For that deep, deep infection.
Yeah,
look.
For that I'm not gonna make it look. Yeah. Or I gave my patient a hug and I just got 2 pounds of pus all over me. Yeah. After I lied to him and told him he's gonna make it. And you'll see. It'll be amusing.
Good.
But to going around Dallas here and that thing with the Presby Strong thing there that got run just into the ground on the news, it's going to be pretty special. It's in really bad taste, and I can't wait to wear it.
Where are you going to be wearing it?
Just around our street area. There's a couple of bars, and people dress up and just... kind of pub crawl and hit a couple places. It's all within walking distance. And Lisa's going as Kelly McGillis in Top Gun.
Nice.
And she found this Top Gun flight suit thing. Oh, my God. I just want to poke a hole in that thing.
In the belly button, of course.
No. In the girly parts.
Her lady bits?
Yeah, her lady bits, girly parts. All that stuff.
Is it a slutty Kelly McGillis outfit?
It's pretty fucking hot.
Nice.
She's got like real high boots on and it's skin tight. I mean, this thing looks like it's painted on her.
Nice.
Yeah.
A little camel toe going on?
No, uh-uh.
Oh.
No, she somehow rescued that. And she doesn't have any kids, so, it's like that thing still looks pretty good. It's
all fluffed and fresh.
Yeah, it's not, it's not flapping in the wind or anything.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, and that was by design.
High five, Lisa.
Yeah. First time I was with her, I said, oh, my God, you've got the nicest pussy for somebody my age I've ever seen.
And you drop to your knees and you thanked her over and over.
She goes, there's a reason I didn't spit out any kids. I wanted to keep this thing happening. I went, okay. Well, tonight it's happening. And she goes, yes, it is. And that was our first night together.
Well, it sounds very romantic.
It was. It was amazing. I mean, how can it not be when I've been with the same woman for 20 years and things weren't exactly good the last 8, so there wasn't a lot of that going on. So, you throw something 10 years younger than her in front of me. Of course it was amazing. I'm not going to lie about it.
Well, good.
And it's still amazing. It's still awesome.
So you haven't stretched it all out from overuse, Lex?
No, That's the beauty of me. I don't stretch out anybody. She seems okay with it, so. But then again,
that's how
I can.
You know she loves you.
But then again, I can do other sick fuck things that don't involve that thing that she likes, so.
Oh, you mean the asshole?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, I mean that too, but. I just know how to change it up. Let's put it that way.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of
the advantage of being an older dude, it's not so overdawning to you anymore. You know, you're actually in control. You're like Peyton Manning. You know, it's like there's nothing you haven't seen anymore. There's no defenses you haven't seen. There's no formations. Nothing. You're in control of everything. You're orchestrating. You're moving the ball downfield. You're just gonna score anytime you want. You know, that's kind of what it's like to be an older dude with a younger chick.
Got to tell you, chicks love the sports analogies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
But.
Not too much.
This is a primarily male audience listening to us, so fuck you.
Well, hi, boys.
Yeah.
So glad of you to join us.
Yeah, you're the reason why. They don't even hear what you're saying. They just hear your voice. It's like, God, Lex, you're so intelligent on there and amazing. And that girl's voice. I'm like, hey, she's making me sound intelligent and amazing. She's very smart. Yeah, I haven't really heard her content. I was too busy doing other things. You should let her talk more. I was having trouble getting there. We don't control when we talk.
No.
We don't have those conversations like when I first went back to Jacksonville and the girl on the morning show that I was going to work with pointed at the log and told me when I get to talk.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. I went, get out of my chair. She goes, oh, no, I run that. I said, get out of my chair.
Mine.
Yeah. And I took the log she was pointing to as far as when I talk, and I just threw it into the corner of the room, and I said, we're going to talk like grown-ups. We don't have a time when we talk and don't talk. We're just going to talk, okay? We're going to talk about current events. We're going to talk about things. I believe we have a Class 4 hurricane going on right now. Andrew was going on at the time. And she goes, I'm well aware of that. I went, well, that's the kind of shit we're going to talk about. And you're not going to tell me what time I get to talk about it. So let's just get into this. And a beautiful relationship was born after that.
How long before Terry joined you?
That was in August. He started in December 16th.
Gotcha.
And that's when she came in early December and said, we just had amazing summer ratings. I'm pretty sure that's because of me. And I went, yeah, I was on there with you, so okay, but we'll give you all the credit for it. By the way, we're not renewing your contract.
Oh, man.
I said, so you take those amazing ratings and you go get you a job somewhere else. And the GM looks at me. He goes, did we have a discussion about firing her? And I went, nope.
It just happened.
Not to my recollection, we didn't. But didn't you pay me to be your program director? Well, I'm program directing.
Oh, so you were program director. Uh-huh. She was still telling you when you were going to talk.
Yeah, that's why I said, get out of my chair.
Gotcha. Well, that takes giant balls.
No, it takes giant stupidity. You should know who your superior is, and you don't say shit like that. I would never say that to a man or a woman that I knew was my new boss and I was doing a radio show with them. My question would be more like, how do you want to handle this? How do you want to do it? What kind of style do you want this show to be now that it's you and me for a while? That kind of stuff. had she been like that, there probably never would have been a Terry.
Right.
But she was, and God, she had like these four or five bits that she played at the same time every week. And she laughed at them like that was the first time she was hearing them every time. And I was just like, she's like, how can, she goes, how can you not think this is funny? And I went, well, it probably was the first time I heard it. I said, these need to go. She goes, but people love these. I went, no, not anymore. They don't.
See, there are, you know, we're going to, I guess, go into radio talk now, you know, and not that I am all worldly and everything, but it does, there's like the show you and Terry do, which is very not formatted other than just, you know, in general. But then there's the very highly, highly formatted, you know, you have your clock and you can only talk about something for 2 minutes right here. And then you've got to go to commercial and then you've got to come back and you've got to get that weather every 10 minutes. Because we promised the advertisers they'll hear weather every 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, my God.
See, that's fine. That's at least somebody with a plan. Whether it's a bad one or a good one, at least it's, you know, and at least they're honest enough to bring up the advertisers. You know, I mean, really.
Yeah.
So... you know, I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with are the fixers of the unbroken. The people that come in, you have like a 22 share, and they look at you and go, do you have a music clock?
Because they can't fathom. They need that formatting again, though, I guess. It's kind of what I was saying. You know, it's... these people have, you know, you learned that in radio school, you know, you've got to have these clocks, you've got to do all this and blah, blah, blah. And listener attention only lasts for 7 minutes on their drive to work and all that crap. And it's like, wow, you're really turning something that was supposed to be fun and entertaining into awfulness.
And I always looked at them and went, have you, before you ask that question, have you looked at the ratings? Well, the whole radio station should have continuity. And I'm like, all right, well, here's what I'd do. I would take my 17-chair morning show and put on 3 more talk shows. That's what I would do. If you want continuity. As opposed to dumbing down and fucking up your 17-share morning show down to a 10 or an 8 or whatever the case is. So you feel good at night about having power over it. While your other 3 shows exponentially grow at a very small rate and you've taken a dominant radio station and turned it into another piece of shit.
Yes.
So no, we don't play music. And if you want us to play music, we quit. Let's get out and talk to the GM and tell him we quit. See what happens. Let's do it. Come on. Let's go. Now.
Hold my hand.
You pissed me off. Let's go. And we won every time. Because you have to stick up for yourself.
Yes.
It's like, I'm not going to let some douchebag who comes in and feels good, you know, that he put his stamp on something. You know, and it's like, if we are sitting there with room for improvement, then fine. We'll talk about what you want to do and see if it moves the needle or whatever the case is. But when the needle is just pushed completely into the... you know.
Is your phone just exploding right now?
No, why?
Oh, well, I'm hearing noises and music and...
Oh, well, yeah, that's because it's right next to the mic on the computer, but...
It's... Oh.
But it's not real loud here.
Oh.
So anyway, you know, like I said, we're putting in a phone line here right now, so Terrence may have to call. We may have to, like, take a break for a sec.
We can do that. That's the glory of podcasting.
So that's just radio in a snapshot right there, folks.
Yes.
Just like your jobs, we have people that want the TPS reports. We have people that want statistics. We have people that want, you know, some form of uniformity in their lives so they can go home and sleep with their overly obsessive selves. Used to be able to tell them to fuck off. Now you can't.
It's become so corporate.
Yeah. Because the guy you're telling to fuck off is just answering to a much higher guy. So he just goes to him and says, they told me to fuck off. And then you got to deal with that person.
Right. And
then you got to tell them to fuck off.
You know, my first radio job was at a very, very tiny little market. And they still had turntables in there and had probably one of the most spectacular album collections I've ever seen. You know, and that's where I learned, you know, to segue songs when you're with two albums and, yeah, and all that. And that is like a lost art.
Totally.
You know, that no one would understand because it's all done by the computer now. I mean, no one even really uses CDs anymore. You know, I mean, it's all computerized.
Sure.
So segueing is a lost art that will probably never be seen again. You know, my first rock radio job in Saginaw, it was actually, the station was a Saginaw station, but it was in Midland, Michigan, and it was Z93 WKQZ. And when I first got hired there, they were literally, it was the, both the shittiest and the best place ever, because it was the mobile home of rock and roll. And it was literally an old mobile home out in the middle of a field that had donkeys all around it, burros. And you go out and there's orange shag carpet everywhere. You first walk in to the living room, and that was the reception area. The production room was a bedroom. The program director's office was another bedroom. You go into the back, like which would be, I guess, the living room or whatever, with the sliding door. There's like a little patio and stuff. And that's where the studio was. And it was all the old paneling and everything. And the screen on the sliding back door had broken. And so when you work there in the summer, at night, and it's just stifling hot, and you'd have to open that sliding door, but there's no screen. And they had a cat, the Z cat, that lived there, and it would come and go as it pleased, and it would bring mice in and you know, vomit, yep, under the board in the production room, you know, a dead mouse. And it was just great. I remember working there. I'd be doing like a night shift on Saturday. And you're sitting there in that back room with the patio open, and the mosquitoes were so thick, you would have 6 or 7 citronella candles burning around you. And it was like, this is radio.
Yep.
This is awesome. And finally, you know, the station got moved into Saginaw in like a proper office building. And it was kind of sad to say goodbye to the mobile home of rock and roll. I missed it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, I worked out in a RV for a while they were building the studio next to it. And I look up one night while I'm doing my shift. They have the control room in the back of the studio, or the back of the RV. And I look up one night, and there's this face looking down at me in the skylight.
Did you scream?
And I just looked, and I went, you know, there was like a 3-second delay. And I went, holy shit! And I call the cops, and they show up, and I look outside, and the next thing I see are these two guys running around the corner, and the guy next door was, like, shooting double-barrel shotguns at them.
Nice.
And took a big piece of corner off the brand-new building. So I get the phone call the next day. Can you tell me what happened here? I went, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. tell me. All right. Guy stuck his face in that skylight. I called the police. I looked outside to see where these people were. And I see two guys running around the corner. And I see some Jed Clampett-looking motherfucker trying to blow their heads off. And he took off a big corner of the building. He goes, I told him not to shoot our building. He's supposed to protect us. I went, well, he did.
But was it fun doing, you know, your show in an RV?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one time when we had moved into Saginaw, there had been a terrible bunch of storms that went through, and we actually got a double whammy. The tower, which was actually a good distance away, got struck by lightning and was down. And then the transformer actually at our building got struck. Totally separate incidences, but we were totally screwed. And because it was just our one little transformer, but there was a shit ton of other people out of power, we were pretty much last on the list to have the power turned back on at the building. And, you know, as you know, engineers, them fixing the tower, it was like an Amish barn raising. And engineers came from all over the state so they could all climb the tower together and do God knows what they do when they're up pie like that.
Oh, geez.
Because I know they love that, but they actually got the tower back on before the power got back on at the station. But, you know, people had to be there. You know, there's all that FCC crap and everything. And so our engineer had set up literally like one of those pull string generators right outside the front door with a long extension cord that turned the board on, a CD player, and a desk lamp. And it was so freaking hot in that building. The walls were sweating. And so, like, one of the sales guy, who was also, like, the morning guy, because, you know, that happens, was, like, walking around. He didn't want to sweat in his, like, business clothes. So he was walking around in his underwear while he was trying to get stuff done before he had to go out and make sales calls and stuff. And it was like, that's fun. That's the stuff I remember and I live for in the happy moments of my radio career. Just the crappy parts, I guess. But that doesn't seem to happen anymore.
Yeah, I love the twist of irony, you know, that's in radio. Like, there was this news guy on Rock 105 when it started. And this guy was wound so, so, so tight. I mean, just rubber band, you know, in knots tight. And he was always reminding me, I'm just an overnight guy, or I'm just a swing guy, I'm just this, and, you know, and I'm a morning news anchor.
Ah.
In a trailer. And, you know, I didn't say anything. I, you know, kept my mouth shut because I love the gig. I wanted to keep it. You know, I didn't want any trouble or anything like that. So, right. You know, it was just one of those type of deals. And he had this wife that worked across the street as a news anchor. And I never put the same last name thing together because I never thought a chick that looked like this would be with a guy like him.
Right.
Well, one night I'm standing out at my car, and you know how Channel 17 was across the street on Hogan Road.
Right.
She comes outside and she sees me standing there and she thought it was him.
Uh-oh.
So she comes across, she goes, Dave, is that you? And I went, no. And, you know, and she goes, shut up. And I went, no, I'm not Dave. So she walks all the way over. She goes, oh, she goes, well, he was supposed to meet me here. I went, like, now? And she goes, yeah. She goes, we were going to go get a drink. And I went, well, doesn't he have to work in like 3 or 4 hours? And she goes, yeah, so. I went, okay. So we're sitting there drinking a couple beers, waiting on him. And he finally drives up, and he looked like he'd had a few already, and starts accusing us of all kinds of stuff. And she's not saying anything, and I'm not saying anything. I'm like, I'm not going to justify this with you. You know, shut up. And she apparently had seen this rodeo before, and neither was she. And she's about 10 feet away from me and starts walking towards me and starts gets right up against me and sits on the car hood while he's reading us the riot act. And which was really uncomfortable.
It's like, what are you doing? Don't.
And he goes, what's going on here? He goes, you know, I could have you fired. I said, for what? He goes, you know. I went, you don't want to say it, do you? Because, you know, she'll get pissed off at you. And she goes, I'm already pissed off at him. She goes, do you want to go have a drink?
To you or him?
To me. And I said, nah, we've already had a couple, and I work with him. It's kind of weird and everything. And she goes, it's not weird to me. She goes, I know who I'd rather be with right now out of you two.
Wow.
And I went, yeah, listen, it'd just be drinks and stuff, you know. And she goes, sure, whatever you say. She was doing everything to get under his skin. Everything. And the next day, you know, I didn't work that day, but the following night I worked. And he comes in and he's not saying anything to me. He's like, I'd appreciate you if you just get your stuff done and get out of here. I went, like I always do. And he says, and you're supposed to pull Greg's records for the first hour. And Greg goes, he did. They're right over here. And I said, anything else, sir? I said, because I got somewhere I need to be. And I winked at him.
You're such a dick.
And he goes, what's that supposed to mean?
I said, your wife's pussy, of course.
I said, it means I have somewhere I need to be, is what it means. And the other guy's laughing like, God, Dave, get a hold of yourself, you know. And it's like, I never did anything with this chick. But it just, you know, finally he had a meltdown on somebody and they got into fisticuffs and he got fired.
That usually does it.
Yeah. And I ran into him and about 15 years later and he was like, totally mellow and chilled out and, you know, had all of his little early 20s angst gone away.
Was he still married to her?
No, God, no.
Oh.
They'd been apart for years at that point. And she was so hot. I would have loved to. But it was just a crazy place. People looking in windows and, you know, Jed Clampett and his kid living next door shooting at people all the time. And remember, the projects were right up the hill.
Yes, I lived there pretty much.
Yeah. And and it was just fucking nuts.
Yes.
Got the shit beat out of me one night for not playing Lynyrd Skynyrd.
It was Jacksonville.
Yeah. Well, I started the shift. It was supposed to be an all-request night, but you know they're really not. You know.
Yes, people, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Requests, all the songs are scheduled. They might leave a couple open slots if someone calls in with an actually really good thing. Otherwise, it just turns out to be the DJ playing what they want to hear.
All-request night is basically one slot an hour with a really good phone call with it.
See, we at the rock station I worked at, we would have, I don't remember if it was Double Shot Thursday or Two for Tuesday. I don't remember, but it was one of those kinds of things. And the PD, actually, very cool. It was just musically the best job I've ever worked at. He would leave two or three slots. He would schedule like one, you know, and then you would have to choose the other song for that twofer. And we literally looked forward to those days. We would bring our own CDs in and stuff to play like our own stuff. You know, I would go really deep with Pink Floyd. I usually would get at least one phone call from someone going, I've never heard that Floyd song played on the air before. Thank you. You know, that kind of thing.
You would have gotten one for me. That's the last time we're going to hear that Pink Floyd song on the air.
Oh, I had a couple boo-boos one time. It was a Ted Nugent Double Shot, because it's Michigan, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't thinking. And I played a live version of a song that starts out with, you know, it's all that Nashville pussy! Fuck yeah! And I'm just sitting there with my hands over my face going, oh my God, no. And my PD just opens the door and looks at me and goes, how long have you been in radio? How did you not know that song's not, you know, starts that way? And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Maserati is a Maserati. My big giant cock Maserati.
I was like, I will never play live Nugent again. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Do you not know Ted Nugent?
He has touched my boob.
Yeah. So, yeah, radio's fun.
Well, I think the first time I ever met you, I remember telling you a story about a PD that at that station. Do you remember that story?
Which one? What, you told me several stories, so.
About him and his wife, but he was nailing a sales chick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Wifey Pooh shows up and sees him through the window with the salesperson bent over.
Whoopsie.
And she just starts putting the car in reverse, driving forward into the salesperson's car, putting the car in reverse, and then driving forward back into the sales chick's car over and over and over again.
Well, that's what was going on inside.
In front of a window where everyone could see. And thus, that was the last time they ever allowed alcohol into the building, like when they were celebrating ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I love sales pussy.
Apparently, a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. God, if the walls could talk.
I know.
And the beautiful part is, most of it not initiated by me. I guess they just had a dire need to sell. I don't know. But, oh my God. And their little business suits and, oh.
Heels.
Just hiking their skirts up. Like what you see? Love what I see.
Now go out and sell.
Yeah.
Please, we need the money.
Yeah, I had one change clothes in the car in front of me once. I mean, down to just a pair of panties. Everything else was showing.
Whoops. Uh-oh, and my bra fell off.
And she's like engaged. And I just look over and I went, I'm never getting married. She goes, why not? I went, that's why. Because you are. I just don't want to picture my soon-to-be wife in a car changing clothes in front of a dude. She goes, you're not just a dude. You're Lex. You're not going to do anything.
And then you don't know if you're insulted or not.
Yeah. You know, and then later on that night, it's like, let's get out of here.
But actually, because, you know, that new Batman versus Superman movie is being filmed here in Detroit. And so they actually, one of the, oh, we're not going to go through that again, but one of the old dilapidated buildings, you know, houses.
Yeah.
They actually used that. It's like a Detroit fixture for one of the ruin porn type things.
Yeah.
They're actually using that as like, I guess Wayne Manor is very bad in this movie, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they used that building as like the sad Wayne Manor, I guess.
The Batman thing's so overdone. I don't even know what the fucking story is anymore. Now they got this Gotham show on TV that goes back even farther when he was a fucking kid. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Why couldn't we had Gotham first? And work the story up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because right now, this kid's worthless. The future Batman.
I have not seen it. And does it take place before or after his parents were killed?
After.
Okay, so they...
They actually get killed in the first episode.
Okay. Oh, and spoiler alert. Sorry, folks.
Well, the first episode was 6 weeks ago, so you didn't spoil anything.
Well, yeah, but I have not seen it yet, so I'm waiting for Netflix or, you know, something.
Yeah, listen, it's no big deal. I mean, the premise of it is, in the very first 5 minutes of the first episode, he's coming back from a show or an opera or something with his parents, and they get gunned down and killed, and he doesn't.
And does the man turn to him and say, "Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?"
No. Is he supposed to? Hello?
Sorry, my headphones shorted out.
Oh.
My bad.
No, there's no devil dancing in the moonlight shit. What is that?
Well, that was from the Tim Burton, Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
When he was the Joker.
Yeah, well, no, there was no Joker. These were just thugs that killed his parents.
Right.
This is supposed to be before Joker, before Riddler, before all that.
Well, in the Tim Burton, the original Batman with like Michael Keaton,
yeah.
I guess, back then, that was when they were coming out of the show. The person who killed his parents later, it turned out, was Jack Nicholson, was, you know, the Joker.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I asked that.
No, nothing like that was said. It was just thugs.
Gotcha. Bless you.
Thanks. One more.
Bless you.
Okay, I think it's gone. So,
Farrah, oh, what?
Hmm? Yeah, I was just about to ask you about Farrah Abraham, because I was watching Couples Therapy the other night, and she was on like the first episodes of that.
Oh, golly. She, you know, has moved quite successfully into the world of porn. And she apparently, there was some hustler extravaganza recently that she decided it would be a great idea to dress up as Elsa from Frozen. And while dressed as Elsa, that is where she hawked molds of her vagina and asshole.
Wow.
At the Hustler extravaganza. And I got to tell you, because they're showing pictures of the product, and it is definitely her vagina and asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like butt cheeks and everything. It is very comprehensive, I guess you could say.
That's a very disturbed young woman.
Yes.
I do not have a great prognosis for her. I just think she's in a lot of trouble.
I felt that way about Lindsay Lohan, and my predictions on her have never come true. I'm
yet
a little bitter about it. Oh, she seems to be better. She just don't hear about her as much.
Yeah, because she's poor.
Yes. Did some play somewhere.
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand is, you know, personally knowing people that like need chances, need someone to give them that break, that chance. And I'm not even talking about it, fame and fortune. I'm talking about just getting a job so that they can, you know, live. I don't know how she keeps talking people into giving her things. Oprah, for whatever reason, has taken her under her wing. She did this play. It's like, why can't you just send her on her way? She's not good.
Yeah.
She's not talented, and she is the oldest looking 28-year-old I've ever seen.
Listen, she was amazing in Mean Girls. You shut up.
But again, wasn't that already like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Like, she is like eight. Up. She was 21 when she made it, I think.
Okay.
And Tina Fey, you know, pretty much made sure everybody shined in that.
Because she rocks.
She's the sexiest bitch on the planet.
Yes, she is.
I would so love to have sex with her and just joke around.
Me too.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
You know, because you could be sarcastic and mean, you know, but playful, and she would give it back.
She'd make you laugh during orgasm.
Oh, God, yes. Lisa doesn't get my attraction to her. She's like, she looks okay. And I went, it's not about the looks. The looks are okay, but she's amazing. I said, you see, you think we're all about the looks. We're not. I have a long, illustrious list of women that are cool as shit. Aren't tens. They're still attractive, like Tina is, but they're not tens. But in the personality department, they're 15s. And you just want to bang the shit out of them. Because you know they're fun in bed. You know they're fun out of bed. You know they're fun all the time. You know there's not a bug anywhere near their ass at all times. You know that when you come home and make some sarcastic remark about somebody at work or somebody else, that they will pile on with you and make you feel even better about your experience.
Because they'll do it better and funnier.
Uh-huh. She'll be dusting the mirror or whatever when you walk in and go, he is a cocksucker, isn't he, Lex? Who are we talking about? Come here. You're so hot. Oh, my God, you're so hot. Keep joking.
I'm almost there.
Yeah. Somebody like Tina, I'd let you pull my panties down and bend me over, but I haven't wiped today. Just kidding. Oh, my God. I'd never get enough of that. She's amazing.
She is. I respect her a lot.
I mean, can I just fuck your brain? She goes, if that's your way of asking for a blowjob, then okay.
But I have to do it when you're live on the air.
Yeah. It's like, okay, that's fine. You'll be doing it in front of my friends. That may be a little uncomfortable. But okay.
And I will be talking about it while it's happening.
And so will
guys,
they.
You're not going to believe it, but right now Tina Fey has her mouth and lips wrapped right around my cock, and I'm live on the air right now.
First off, it's really weird. Tina Fey's in a relationship with Lex. That's really fucking weird. And, you know, second of all, she's in here blowing him.
While he's on the air.
It's like, yeah, I have to lick her pussy on Saturday Night Live. Sorry. It's a deal we made.
We'll be in the Don Pardo Memorial sound booth.
Yeah. But God, she's a track. Kristen Wiig, too. That bed scene with John Hamm.
Wah, wah.
Oh, my God.
And I love him. He's so hot. Oh, God. And he played the douche so well. You know he was having fun with it. But God, what a douche. And when he pulls up and goes, hey, want to fuck? And the cute little Irish guy goes, oh, my God.
I know. Now, the one, God, what was the thing? What was the thing he said to her in bed? And she had this retort that was just fucking funny as hell. Something about fucking too fast or something like that. And he goes, I like to do it fast. And she goes, and she just kind of goes, she goes, yes, faster, please.
You know who I also loved, my kind of secret like crush through that whole movie, because everyone was fantastic, but the blonde chick who is Clementine from Reno 911.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
Her delivery with that whole, she's just great. She did Clementine so well on Reno 911.
Well, she's also was in Rules of Engagement for a while. I mean, she was the upstairs neighbor on Rules of Engagement. You know, and she was like always trying to hit on Jeff.
I like her.
Yeah.
The outtakes where she's talking about how many, like, she lives in that house full of teenage boys and her husband and, like, all of the masturbating that's taking place.
Yeah.
And it's like, the blanket broke in half.
Such a fucking great movie. Rose Byrne was awesome in that movie.
She was the hot straight chick, right?
She was the one that took over as the best friend.
Okay.
Yeah,
she's got the straight man.
There was just one upping her, and you know, she's like, I got you everybody a puppy, and you know, she goes, we're going to Paris to get you your own specially made dress. Like, totally took over as the best, you know, the bride and maid of honor or whatever the case is.
That was just a fantastic movie.
And Kristen Wiig has her meltdown.
Yeah. Bleaching their asshole.
Yeah. And it's probably not even a real cake.
Oh, and Melissa McCarthy was great at just being uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
The interaction on the plane with her and her real life husband was just a little delight, you know.
Yeah, that was good also. I love the flight attendant on the plane. The guy was so perfect. This is just a well done movie.
It was. It was like, oh, thank you. Chicks are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think about an all-female Ghostbusters?
Depends on who's in it.
I also think it depends on the script.
Who do they have in it?
I don't know. I don't know if they've been named or if it's just been decided it's going to be all bitches.
I'm okay with that. It does depend on the script.
Yes.
But it's so weird to be at an age where I'm seeing all this shit remade and I can be completely critical about it.
Well, if it sucks, I'm going to place the blame entirely on Harold Ramis because he had to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he hadn't died, I think it would have been all of those guys again.
Harold Ramis got fucked in the acknowledgement department like nobody I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. I admit, I didn't know all the stuff that he did and everything. And it's like, huge respect. He had his fingers in some of like the great comedy that we grew up with and came of age with and everything. You know?
He wrote Animal House. He wrote Stripes. He wrote all those movies that Belushi got credit for, Bill Murray got credit for, but he wrote them.
Right.
You know, and I was, you know, we were doing the Bill Murray golf tournaments and stuff.
Right.
I was I was talking to Brian Doyle Murray. I had him like all to myself for like an hour, and we're just sitting at the bar, you know, drinking Guinness and shooting the shit. And he goes, I love my brother. He's a funny motherfucker. And he deserves everything he gets. He's taking great roles and doing great things. He goes, but those early movies that made him famous, Harold Ramis made all those guys famous.
Yep.
I went, I know. He goes, you do? I went, yeah. I said, I definitely know. I paid attention to all that stuff. He was the genius. He goes, he is. Because he was alive at the time.
Yes.
You know? And I said, why is he disappearing? You know? And we're not seeing much of him. He goes, because he's a genius. He got his fucking money and he doesn't give a shit anymore. And I was like, no kidding. Good for him. I said, but bad for us. Because that's a great mind.
You know who else is like richer than God? And right now, I can't think of his name. The little guy from Ghostbusters, the Keymaster Gatekeeper guy.
Oh, Rick Moranis.
Yes, yeah. Him. He, from like his Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie and stuff, he's like loaded. That's why you don't see him anymore. And he's said, screw it. I've got money. I'm living my life. He is stupid, stupid, stupid rich.
Yep. He doesn't care. Same thing with Sigourney Weaver. She doesn't have to work anymore. Between Aliens and the Ghostbusters movies, she doesn't have to do shit.
Avatar, which I just watched for the first time this week. So behind. And it was delightful.
Oh, my God. Sigourney Weaver and Working Girl. Everybody hated her, but I wanted to fuck her brains out.
Sigourney Weaver in Galaxy Quest in her little jumpsuit that keeps unzipping farther and farther through the whole movie. That is probably one of my favorite sci-fi movies. I love Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, and Alan Rickman.
I love him. He could do anything he wanted to me. I love Alan Rickman more than I should.
Alan Rickman's amazing. So, is our time up?
You know what? I forgot to set the timer, so we're probably way late.
Yeah, we are way late.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man, I love me some Alan Rickman. That guy is an amazing actor.
His little tiny stint in Dogma as the angel, the voice of God.
Oh, yeah.
Him, even if you go to like Sense and Sensibility, which is a period piece with Emma Thomas and not funny at all.
Yeah.
He's wonderful in that, of course, Harry Potter.
But the greatest Alan Rickman movie is Die Hard.
I was going to say, yeah. He's got that voice.
Yeah.
He's not conventionally good looking. I don't know, but I admit I'm just totally hot for him.
He's comedically like, brilliant in that movie.
He was the Sheriff of Nottingham in Kevin Costner's Robin Hood.
The mastermind genius, I'm so annoyed with all you lunkheads thing that he has.
Yes.
You know, he's so fucking good at it. You know, and then when that like douchebag sales guy comes in and tries to cut a deal with him, and he's like, hey, Hans, you know, it's like, we got to put a deal together, babe. We can't have all these people being killed and stuff. You know what I mean? He goes, yes, it's a tremendous disadvantage to, you know. And then it's like 2 seconds later, he kills him, you know, and kind of looks at him like, good deal. You know, we just made a good deal.
He is. He has that whole like put out, you know, just like, whatever, but he does it with the British thing.
Yeah,
you know?
with a little bit of the eye roll, like another thing I'll have to take care of, you know.
Yeah. I love him.
I carefully picked all these people out to handle this master caper of this huge fucking Nakatomi building and billions of dollars. And I've painfully over years put this together, and every one of you to the letter is fucking this up. The only guy he thought was competent was Bruce Willis.
Yes.
He's the only guy he had respect for out of the whole thing. Everybody else was like, you know, it seems we've lost him, sir. And he'd just like look at this guy like, you know, I'll take care of it. That's a fucking great movie. I could watch that movie anytime.
Yep.
Anytime, any place, man. That was just a brilliant action movie. I like the second one, too.
You know, I admit it's been a very long time since I've seen them, but I know I watched them a lot when they first came out on VHS a long time ago.
Yeah. But. Okay, that means we're done.
All right.
That was the alarm. All right, so Stacy, we did go a little over here. I'll probably have to edit some of this out. I know some places where I can do that, so I will.
Well, look at you go. You're so competent.
Yeah, that's right. And ever since that one episode we did, I've had to get better.
God.
Yeah.
So I'll just kind of set this. I know we're running way late. Sorry.
That's all right.
Of course, there's the now infamous lost episode that we don't speak about because it will probably never air now because Lex is a pussy.
Yeah, it's the Lord Voldemort version of our, you know, thou shall not speak its name.
And Lex uploads the podcast, you know, so it plays on LT2, and then he uploads it to another website so that I can schedule it to be published as a podcast. And he posted it or, you know, uploaded it, and I went and started listening to it, which you will always owe me because I listen because I'm anal. Mm-hmm. And it was that episode. And I had to text Lex and say, you know, that was that one. You probably want to take that down.
Yeah, it was in my editing program. It's the only thing I save in there because once I edit and render all these, I move them somewhere else. But that one's sitting in there because it's not getting played. So I open up. I had loaded another show in there to edit, and I opened up the program, and that was sitting in there. So I thought that was it. So I fixed the beginning of it with the music and the end, and thought, okay, this is okay.
It wasn't. Not even close.
It wasn't.
There was the panic because I texted Lex and said, it's this one. Are you sure? And he's like, no, that will never air unless I say so. And I'm like, well, that's why I'm telling you it's there.
All right, Stacy, here's the deal. Since we've rolled about 8 minutes into the second hour,
okay,
let's just go ahead and do a second hour. We'll make this a two-parter.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. Here's what happened, okay?
Well, welcome to episode 15.
All right, and this I can talk about. Because on the air, I talked about us splitting up and us not getting married and all that stuff. And at the time, you know, she was being completely short with me and distant and all that stuff. And I was completely blaming her. But
you were angry.
Yeah, I was extremely angry and also bewildered. Like, what did I do? You know, what the fuck, you know? And it turned out I did a lot.
You bastard.
I was on all kinds of medication. And you know, for, you know, going through my divorce and all that stuff, just some crazy shit going on. So, you know, it's like I got prescribed the normal things people do for anxiety. And I took full advantage of it and started taking it when I didn't need it. So,
because it's fun.
No, it's not even fun. It was like, I didn't, you know, I look back and I'm like, I don't even know why I was doing it.
Because downers are fun.
I guess.
They feel good.
But they're fun for just you, I found out.
Yes.
And it's not even fun. It's just like, oh, it's there, I'll take it. And you know, there wasn't even a jonesing for it or anything like that. It was just became a normal thing, you know? And
because it's fun and it feels good.
I don't know, you know, I really don't know the driving force behind it, but there I was taking it. And I guess it wasn't hot to like drop your fork while you're at dinner or your phone falls about 500 times out of your hand or something like that.
I'd be like, hey, old man, you having another stroke?
So, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much like that.
And then poke you with a fork. It's like, get up, dance, old man.
It wasn't even that. She just was so turned off, she didn't even care anymore. And, you know, it's like, but in a moment of clarity, I asked her to marry me. And she was thrilled. She was, you know, hands to the face and crying and, you know, jumped into my lap and hugged me and all this stuff. And it's like 3 weeks later, that was gone. And it was kind of the marriage thing that did it. You know, she was like, oh, my God, I'm going to marry this guy that falls asleep in his potatoes.
Like Richard Dreyfuss. In Close Encounters.
Yeah.
He didn't really fall asleep, though. He just kind of made a thingy.
No, he just made a mountain out of him.
Yes.
You know, this whole time I'm blaming her for changing. But it was me. So we made this episode. She went back to Oklahoma. She had had enough. She went back to Oklahoma, and we made this episode, and I'm angry as hell.
It was fun.
Yeah.
In a different kind of fun that Lex was used to.
And I completely blamed her for everything because she didn't really tell me why she was exiting. She said she did, but I don't think she did.
You were asleep and you don't remember.
It's quite possible.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I'm so pissed off. So I went on this rant.
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
It was the most intriguing hour of podcasting I predict it was ever recorded.
Yes. And one day, maybe I'll play it. There's some information in there I'd really, she don't need to hear. Because it was harmless. It was just, it was just vibrato, you know, just, you know, revenge vibrato, you know, just. Blah, blah, blah. And by this time, I was, you know, done with those things.
And all of the feelings and emotions that you
started
had, you know,
coming
been
squashing back.
Squashing
yeah.
down. Yes.
Yeah.
You let it all out. It was very therapeutic.
Yeah.
Look at it that way.
Yeah.
That podcast brought her Lexi Poo back to her.
That's right. That and flushing all of my Xanax.
Out of his ass. He shit a lot.
Yeah, I just poured him out of the bottle, down the toilet.
Didn't you say, though, that your body went through some sort of purging on its own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anytime you stop doing stuff like that, your digestive system just goes crazy.
Because that's right, Lex and I talk about him pooping when we're on the phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
And all of the things that, you know, your body goes through ridding it of stuff like that is crazy. I really wasn't in much discomfort or anything, but it was. But your system definitely readjusts to not having it. You know, so you better not leave the house for a few days. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
I'm hearing that little lady from Poltergeist going, yeah. This colon is clean. Yeah.
I lost 22 pounds in a week.
And 16 of that was shit.
Mm-hmm.
Impacted deep inside literally the bowels of Lex.
Yeah. Probably.
You were just like John Wayne. But much more vibrant.
And anyway, to her credit, I came clean on all this. And said, I'm very sorry. Had I known that I was going to lose you in the deal, I wouldn't have ever touched that stuff. I would have just made my way through it. And it won't be an issue ever again. And, you know, hopefully you'll take me for my word because I've never lied to you about anything. And you'll come back.
Yes. And that is when the sky opened, the clouds parted, and a heavenly host of angels began to sing. As you ran towards each other in a field of flowers.
No, just, you know, a week or so went by and she came back. There's no angels or anything. She just came back. And our relationship's like it was in the beginning. That's all she wanted out of me. She just didn't articulate it, which I gave her a bunch of shit for. I said, why do I always get uncommunicative women? Why? Or are you all like this?
And that's when we say, why do you always have to be a pussy who wants to talk about his feelings?
Because if we talk about our feelings, there won't be any more discussion. There won't be any more pain in the ass shit for you. There won't be any kind of drama or intrigue that you all love so much. It'll just be, oh, I didn't realize that was pissing you off. I'll stop. You know, so that's not about my feelings. That's just about, hey, you should tell me when something's fucked up. You should tell me that really bothers you and you're harboring a bunch of resentment. You shouldn't let it go on. I certainly don't let that happen.
Nope.
I'm very vocal when a girl's doing something in my relationship and I don't really care for it. I am very quick to say, man, bitch, that's fucked up. I don't like that. Not cool. And they go, what?
We bitches love that.
What? Oh, you're going to make me explain it. Well, this isn't going to be pleasant.
Please tell us more about your feelings, Lex.
My feelings.
I'm waiting for a rainbow to show up here outside my window.
My feelings are quite simple. They're on my mind, and I tell them. I'm not a hard person to live with. There's no guessing. There's no intrigue. There's none of that stuff. I tell you pretty much when things are great, when something's bothering me, when something's fucked up, when it's, you know, I even do cool things like tell you how wonderful you are out of the blue without it having to be some special occasion or something nice.
Oh. Well, that's awfully nice of you, Lex.
You know, and she's like, you know, this, from this place where nobody conveys feelings or something. But there's like, this is what bothers me. There's like convenient feelings. like, you know, you go 4 or 5 days and you're like, God, I wonder if this chick even likes me, you know, or like, you know, just kind of watch TV and talk to each other and go places and eat and all that. But, you know, there's not a lot of PDA or touching or anything like that going on. And then there's that day where they're all over you.
Because we're ovulating, that's why.
Well, whatever.
It's the only time of the month we can stand you.
Yeah, whatever. You know, and I'll be like, what's with you?
The eggs, they're dropping now.
And she's like, what? I'm like, well, normally you're like really frigid in that chair over there. This is really, you know, uncomfortable. It's like I just want to, you know, come over and, you know. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. You know, but it's like once every 3 or 4 days, you know. It's like, and then there's 3 days where, you know, she doesn't like to be fucked with. It's always been that way. Even in the beginning when everything was crazy, just sex all the time and all that, it was like, as soon as that was over, it was like, you know, not a lot of touching or intimacy or anything like that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It really
is. You need to be touched right
now. It really is, because, you know, when it's on, it's on. You know, it's not, if that never happened, that would be bad.
Okay.
You know, but since that's just the way she is, you know. It's not a good or a bad thing. It doesn't bother me or not bother me. It's just the observation. You know, so when I don't pick up that it's time to be lover guy, I hear about it.
I saw them on tour.
Like one day I was like working all day and everything, and it got to be like 4:30, and I got this text, you know, it's like, I'm really missing you. Which is, you know, not something you get from her. You don't even get many texts from her. She's just not that a texting type.
And did you say, well, you're in the next room, why don't you come in here and talk to me?
I used to. I don't anymore. Now I just roll with it. And the more I roll with it, the more I, the better things go for me.
Well, there you go.
You know, it's like, sometimes I just go to bed and don't say anything. You know, I'd be like watching TV or something. I'll just go to bed, you know. She's like, I'm like, how's it feel? You know, because I have these arguments where they're like, you know, that's pretty fucked up, right? You know, that you don't say goodnight to each other and things like that. Because sometimes she'll just go up and go to bed. And I'll go, what the fuck? You know, what's up? You don't say goodnight? She goes, no.
I can tell you, though, because I do that. But it's for me. And I can't speak for her. It's like, if I am falling asleep in my chair, then I know it's time for me to go to bed. And so I get up and go. Because if I do too much between the chair and the bed, then I wake up again.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like, get up and boom, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And it irritates him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's messed up.
So sometimes, just to be obnoxious, I'll turn around and go, night! Nighty-night! Uh-huh. Good night! Here I go! I'm going upstairs. I'm going to go to bed now.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
She does that too. Well, I go, I don't give a fuck if you're going to bed now.
Not going to be Mr. Mopey Pants?
No.
I didn't say goodnight. Mr. Mopey Pants.